Blog Talk Radio.
Actually,
one of the things that we find in the context of our life is that everybody comes into their human experience as a state of arbitrariness. It can also be thought of as people come into their experience with a bias. We're biased by race, we're biased by gender, we're biased by family. We're biased by where we live. And one of the things that we get to do is we get to have an experience. In one context, our experience can be anything that we want it to be. In another, we have the opportunity to examine elements that make our life who we are. And then we get to contribute that to others. And oftentimes when we look at what's going on, it a lot of times doesn't make sense about our life and times and what's going on within the context of our life as far as who we are, what we are, where we are, what's going on and why. Part of the opportunity that people aren't aware of is that the reason why we come into this experience arbitrarily is because in the context of infinity, anything goes. One of the areas of development that we don't pay attention to is service polarity, because it's really not taught and it's really not talked about. I know there's a lot of people that talk about oneness. There's the Buddhist approach, which is non-duality. In biblical Christianity, there's the idea of good versus evil, or opposites in conflict, but that misses the point about why opposites exist in the first place. In one sense, what is going on within the creation is you have those who polarize in the negative, those who polarize in the positive, and then you have the arbitrariness of everyone else, and this composes the human condition. Right now, less than 1% of the world population is polarizing either positive or negative. Most people choose to simply hold to his or her point of view as the be-all, end-all to all else. And usually what this means is that from the perspective of the individual who is living a life of arbitrariness, it means the point about human beingness is missed. And what culminates for the process of missing the point is what's referred to as the death experience. One of the curious things about life that we don't understand is that death and ascension only involves the body. A person either ascends the body or a person dies the body, and there is no in-between. There isn't another point of reference as far as the body is concerned. In one sense, what we have is the life that we are humanizing is mindful purposefulness, embodied spirituality, and conscious awareness that is then path as purpose. That's a contribution that is made. And this is something that people aren't very aware of. I always find it interesting how when I look at people of the past, I'm thinking of the Sufi poets, Rumi, Hafiz, and so on, who talked a lot about love, but they didn't ascend the body as the love that it is. The body is a really interesting thing as a physical representation, because within the context of the life of all of us, the body is, it can be thought of as half love, half fear, half light, half dark. And what we do within the context of meditation is we work on holding the self through eliminating or removing the three veils of forgetfulness, confusion, access, It's the veil of access to God, veil of confusion of life, veil of forgetfulness about the role and nature of the soul. What an individual also does is to resolve issues, develop talents within the context of conscious awareness, because in one sense, the only thing that we are doing in the composition or constitution of our life is polarizing who we are as the nature of what is as a human ideal. And this is something that people don't pay attention to as a rule. There are lots and lots and lots of ideas about what we are as an existence. Human beingness, as a specificness, is often left out of what we choose to participate with because we're all caught up in the life that we're living. And there's nothing inappropriate or incorrect or wrong with the life that is strictly arbitrary. One of the curious aspects of biblical Christianity is the Old Testament is based upon fear, judgment, and persecution. The New Testament involves the life of Jesus as love, forgiveness, and doing unto others, or the positive, which is also the antithesis of the Old Testament, as fear, judgment, persecution. And then we get to the arbitrariness of Paul. Anyone who is a practicing Christian today comes from the perspective of Paul, which simply means that that individual who practices Christianity has never met Jesus. And so an individual might have ideas about the life of Jesus that are spot on or more than likely incorrect. This is often true with anyone that has come, like Zoroaster, Buddha, Jesus, and so on, that oftentimes the point is missed about our own life because of the ideas that we hold about the life of someone else who, after they have passed, then simply exist as a graven image, which means they are no longer interacting with people as a physical representation of or as the image and likeness of God. One of the discoveries that I have made is that when I am truly loving, that love never ceases to exist. It never dies. It's the same thing with light. When I am truly loving and enlightened, the death experience and ceasing to exist stops. So part of the work that we get to do is watch lots of television. And I mean lots and lots of television, and watching so much television that we get to see bubbles coming out of our TV set while we're eating bonbons, popping the popcorn, all that kind of stuff. Maybe the stereo is playing in the background. I'm being facetious, of course, trying to make you laugh because humor is as much a part of it. And if I'm not making Ince Lance laugh, I've failed in the context of the show because it's all about making Ince laugh at all costs. She's a friend of mine, and I like to play with her over my show because she's listening to the show, listening to every detail, taking volumes of notes and that kind of stuff. And then she'll call me and tell me I didn't understand any of it. And I said, well, what really were you trying to say? And I said, I don't know what I was trying to say because I was too busy watching something. Anyway, one of the things that's nice is that when we work within the context of our life, we work at having a life in which we can make a contribution to the planet and other people. And contribution is a very important word because it only matters in the big picture if a contribution is being made, and the contribution can be anything at all. It doesn't have to be a lofty thing. It doesn't have to be a substantial thing. It can be something very simple, like saying hi to somebody who's dejected and down and out. One of the nice things is there is coming a point in the evolution of this planet in which negative service polarity is going to become extinct and no longer be involved with this planet from then on. And we are not too far away from that day. One of the things that's useful is to apply discernment when it comes to the lives of others, because a lot of times we don't realize from the perspective that we're coming from that the individual is actually serving themselves rather than someone else. And it's not easy to differentiate between those who serve others and those who serve in a negative context. It's referred to as the right and left hands of God. The negative path is self-service, which according to the law is 95% self, 5% others, which means that from the perspective of an individual who is polarizing in the negative, 5% of their attention is the context of others, and more often than not, the only thing that a negatively polarized individual is interested in is conquering, enslaving, destroying, or controlling and manipulating others. The flip side of that is those who serve others. One of the interesting things about the life that we live is that there's only three things that we're involved with. One is knowing or being the nature of the self according to the design, which requires understanding the role that that which created us and that which brought us to life played. And notice that there's two. In the Bible, we are told that let us make man in our image after our likeness, male and female created he them. So we have that which created us and that which brought us to life, and then you have that which is referred to in Hinduism as the destroyer god Shiva. It's referred to as the Lord God Jehovah, which is actually the warlord god Jehovah. And then in the context of Islam, you have Allah. Within the context of Judaism, you have YHWH. They are all the same destroyer god. So the interesting thing that we have an opportunity to do is understand how the dynamic works. In a blanket context or an overall or an overview is you have war, greed, and class distinction, which are the basis for the negative path, which is based upon hierarchy, elitism, superiority, chosenness, good versus evil. Within the context of the indigenous way of life, which is the flip side, we were originally created to exist indigenously based upon equality, balance, relationship, purpose, harmony, peace, serenity, and tranquility. And so what you have within the protocols of the negative and the positive is you have that which seeks to control and manipulate, that which seeks to live by war, greed, and class distinction. And then on the flip side, instead of war, you have peace. Instead of greed, you have abundance. And instead of class distinction, you have everybody standing on the same plane at the same level of awareness. And yes, there are those that are less conscious. Yes, there are those that are more conscious. But the simple fact is this. Within a medium that is infinite, nothing is greater or lesser than anything else. A grain of sand has as much relevance and realness as a person, place, and thing, a planet, a solar system, a moon, a galaxy, and so on. We humans do a pretty interesting thing, is we like to make distinctions between things. We like to give value, meaning, value, function, and purpose to things that are more arbitrary than anything else. Why is a diamond considered the most valuable thing on the planet, so to speak, or platinum, or gold, or a ruby, or an emerald, or a pearl? Why is a pearl more valuable than, say, a stone of granite? And we do this with everything. If you go into a place to do business, there are stores like Neiman Marcus, which I think of as needless markup, where things are very, very expensive. Items can be as high as $50,000 for something that you can buy. If you go into the 99-cent store, everything is a dollar. And we like to have things that have greater value because in some ways what we don't realize is what we do is we set ourselves apart by trying to make ourselves superior, elite, better than others. So what the part of the art of negative polarization is to set apart the nature of the self according to a self-imposed ideal that adversely affects not only the individual as a state of representation, but also others. And there are lots and lots of things on this planet that demonstrate negative service polarity, slave labor being one of them. Another thing that we do is we engage in the protocols of thinking that because we've gone to college and because we've competed in some capacity, it makes us superior to someone else. One of the interesting elements about life as it is on this planet is that this comes from the raw material. And I find it a very useful idea to understand. And that is that according to the raw, every thought has an antithesis. And the reason why is a very simple technique that God used to create the universe, which is inverse reversal, so that all-encompassing became the binary vibrancy of all-encompassingness and infinity. Within the context of infinity, there's the possibility of self-awareness. Now, according to the raw material, their evolution was awareness, growth, self-awareness, love or understanding, light or wisdom, unity. And then they have what they refer to as, and at the seventh level, is a gateway. And then they make the comment of the eighth cycle, and they refer to as cycles. They say the eighth cycle is a cycle that they do not plumb, which means they don't understand it yet. And my understanding is that the eighth cycle is reintegration back into the process. So one of the opportunities that we have within the context of our life is to simply understand what's going on. That's part of the process. And a lot of people don't understand that you have positive energy, you have negative energy, and then you have arbitrariness, which like precedes the positive and the negative. So basically what you have within the context of your life is you have this process that's going on, and it becomes a curiosity that people aren't interested in evolving beyond the death experience. One of the opportunities that is available to humanity, if it becomes aware of it, is individual ascension or collective ascension. Now, I was told by the Council of Laet that individual ascension is more negative than positive, and this includes all of the members of the Great White Brotherhood. Individuality is more negative than positive by design because of the biasing of individuality, as opposed to the connected integration of collective consciousness, which is the Christ. Individuality doesn't exist as the Christ, because the Christ specifically is and means the connected integration of collective consciousness, which in the biggest picture is all of humanity. If an individual wants to understand the idea of the Antichrist, it's anything that's antithetical to ascension. That's every idea, every belief, every emotion, every thought that is antithetical to ascension is the Antichrist. We like to think of things in individual contexts. So we think of God as an individual context, and that oftentimes misses the point about God as God is. God as a term is meant to unify. But what we have done within the context of humanity is we have decided to turn the idea of God into that which is antithetical to all else. And so what ends up happening is there's a lot of antagonism and animosity between religious ideologies that all originate or emanate from a single point of reference. And the curious thing is that according to David Icke, and the biggest secret is you have science and religion originated out of the same school. And basically the reason why they exist is science is there to deny the existence of God, to deny the existence of extraterrestrials, to deny the nature of the soul. That's the role that science plays predominantly. And then religion, on the flip side, is there to teach false doctrine about God. And so it becomes a challenge from our perspective about who we are, about what we are trying to accomplish and why. One of the things that I was shown when I was 5 years old is that I will take my body with me after living as long as the original design lived. If you read the Bible and if you read the raw material, both bodies of knowledge state that the original lifespan of a human being when it was originally created was 900 to 1,000 years. That's in the Bible, and it's also in the raw material. Now, the raw material does a delineation. And the delineation of the human lifespan went from 900 years approximately to 700 years to 350 years, all the way down to 35 years. And now it's gone from 35 years up to approximately 75 to 100. And it's very, very possible that before humanity collectively ascends, that the lifespan of a human being will again be 900 to 1,000 years, which would be very, very interesting. I think it would be rather curious to live a life that is that long. I think it'd be kind of cool. I was told by a psychic in 1982 that I'll live longer than they think humanly possible, and that I'll take my body with me when I go. And she said, you're the only person that I've read where I haven't seen the death experience. And the last time I talked to her, which wasn't too long ago, she says that she still has not seen anyone else not transitioning, leaving the body behind. It is an interesting thing when one stops to think about love and light as opposed to fear and darkness, because without fear and darkness, a given thing will not cease to exist. So fear and darkness play the role of causing the cessation of the body through time, over time through space. And then when you look at what love and light are, love and light are self-sustaining, self-regenerative, self-perpetuating states that an individual can choose to personify. But the one thing that an individual is wise to do is to let go of the idea or notion of past, presently, future bound. Ultimately, there's only the instantaneous, the spontaneous, and the simultaneous within the context of our life and times. One of the things that all of us can do on this planet humanly is to manifest consciously, instantly, with a conscious mind. Everybody has the ability to do that. In fact, in one sense, all we are doing is we are opening the mind to the realness of God or the power of God, so that within the context of our lives we can manifest, we can heal, and then we can also teach. That, in my estimation, is all we are working towards through the meditation that we do, through the work that we do, and so on, is learning to be God-conscious and like miracle-minded in the same context as Jesus and universally conscious aware. And the work that we do is to let go of those things that are a stumbling block or a hindrance to that. And it's not easy to do, because there are so many ideas out there now that it becomes very, very difficult to wade through different subject matters to come to those pieces of information that are truly useful. And a person needs to be careful, because ideas are not meant to be static. It's almost like what we are doing is we are walking up an infinite staircase. And what we are doing is we are simply, through the process of truth that defines reality, to into a given state that represents God as that, which is everything on this planet and everything in the universe. What we are doing is we are allowing the representation to be what it is. And then what we do is that we move from that. And most people are unwilling to do that. And it's very, very interesting, because most people are only interested in externals. And the thing is that externals don't actually exist. One of the things that an individual has the opportunity to do through meditation is just to recognize the existence of inherent within the nature of the self. And that's not easy to do at times, because we're so convinced that what is outside of us is the reality, One of the things that we have the opportunity to do is recognize that externals give us the ability to understand the composition of the universe on seven levels. The universe has seven densities to it, and each density has eight octaves. Within the context of planet Earth, there are seven life forms. And what I mean by seven life forms, according to the book God Speaks, God became what is thought of as mineral, vegetable, worm, reptile, fish, bird, and mammal. That's a level of seven. Within the composition of the numerology of the states of densities that exist, there's 1, 3, 7, 13, 21, 31, 43, and 57. They are the levels of states that compose a given density. We are at third density. So within the context of third density, it can be thought of as three interlocking circles. And if you count the number of parts composing that composition, there's seven aspects to it. So it becomes a curious thing, and it becomes an interesting thing, and it also becomes a useful thing. Because one of the things that people don't realize is that everybody has a responsibility for developing a spirituality that is unique to the individual, that gives the individual from that uniqueness the opportunity to contribute to others. And this is something that we are not paying attention to. According to Hatan, which is that which harvests those who are polarized, negative and positive, only those who are polarized are harvestable. Only those that are truly involved with service polarity are harvestable, which means that those that are negatively polarized are harvested, and they are removed to that part of the universe that corresponds to their polarization. Those that are positive are polarized within the context of the positive, and that is the group that is going to begin the process of humanity collectively ascending. And right now, out of 2 billion, out of 7 billion people on this planet, approximately 1.5 to 2 million people are harvestable in the positive right now. And so we have our work cut out for us if we hope to have a collective that ascends in the millions of the people, because right now, very, very few people, it's not even a concept that very many people are aware of. The only body of knowledge that I have read that talks about collective ascension is the raw material, and as of right now, only about 80,000 people on this planet have looked at the material in some context. About 80,000, maybe as many as 100,000 people. The interesting thing is that because of the fact of eternity, it means two things: take as long as you want, and some people are very, 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 very slow. The interesting thing is we are at the end of the third cycle. There are 25,000 cycles. There are 25,000 year cycles, and there's three of them within the context of third density, and third density is that density that allows for self-awareness. In our case, it's human beings. There is a group of people on the surface of this planet that created inhospitable environment that meant that they had to be transplanted to this planet, and those individuals that were transplanted to this planet are no closer now than they were 25,000 years ago or millions of years ago and so on. They evolved on Mars. There were two developments that took place prior to planet Earth. There was Martian development, and there was Venus development. Those that evolved as the raw on Venus are polarized in the positive, and they collectively ascended, which is why Venus is the brightest thing, because the love and the light can technically be felt and seen within the context of Venus because of the mass and magnitude of the love and the light that was accomplished within the context of the raw. Those who evolved within the context of Mars basically destroyed the habitableness of the planet, so they had to be transplanted to planet Earth. I believe it's the Asian race. And the simple fact of the matter is that there hasn't been very much development. Yes, the one thing that the Chinese have done within the context of this is they have evolved beyond the feudal clans fighting against each other. We don't do a very good job on this planet of understanding the protocol of what's involved with conquering, enslaving, and destroying. And so it'll be interesting to see what takes place within the context of our life and times. One of the reasons why we're here on the surf planet is to have a good time, is to laugh, not take ourselves too seriously. And I try not to be too serious within the context of my life, but then when I get engaged with INS, I have to be very serious. And sometimes I have to get on her case about A, B, C, D, E, F, and G because she spends too much time eating bonbons and popping popcorn and spending time on the internet instead of trying to become conscious. So sometimes I get on her case about it. And we have fun. I make her laugh. That's part of the thing that she likes about being involved with me, is that I make her laugh from time to time. In fact, that is one of the saving graces of my life, is that I have a good sense of humor, and I like to make people laugh. And in one sense, that's part of what we are here to do, is we are here to nurture ourselves, bond to our own humanness, encourage people in the context of their lives, develop and discipline into adeptship and ultimately self-mastery, and technically the life from age 42 to 49 is technically the self-mastery phase. Bonding, nurturance, encouragement, development, discipline, adeptship, and self-mastery can put in seven-year cycles, beginning with the first 7 years of life as the experience where we're bonding to our humanity. And then the next 7 years is the nurturing aspect of our life, and then the encouragement, and then the development, and then the next seven-year cycle is adeptship, which is the ability to become accomplished with something, to become good again. And then self-mastery is when we have our act together and that kind of stuff, and then we can go to the park and hopefully not get too drunk on life and all that kind of good stuff, make people laugh, be silly once in a while. That was one of the things that I enjoyed about the life of my brother. When we would get together, all we did was be silly. We were fools. And we just did nothing but laugh. We were goofy and we were silly, and we had a lot of fun together. And I like being silly because it's just fun and childlike. And everybody knows the adage that to be like a child is part of what allows us to evolve consciously. Now, one of the things that people don't realize is that it's not about holding on to an idea for decades, lifetimes, thousands of years, as we've done with like the Rig Veda of Hinduism. It's about 40,000 years old. Buddhist sutras are approximately 2,500 years old. And it just goes from there. I'm of the opinion that a given idea is outdated by the length of time that it's been in print, because the simple fact of the matter is that there is always a new idea that will evolve into a new idea that will evolve into a new idea that will evolve into a new idea. It is simply how the process works. Every single moment that exists is new time and new space. Every single moment, there are approximately seven movements involving the Earth, the solar system, the Milky Way galaxy. And so every moment there is new time, new space, a new state. And the question is how in tune is a person to what that is? when we think of the idea of the evolution of consciousness, it is simply love and light that is allowing itself to be a representation. And in order for love and light not to continue as a specific individualized state, there has to be that that allows the life form to break down. Last week I was given a very interesting vision, and no, it was not Ince in the shower. Sorry, Ince. I was given a very interesting vision about all energy is the coagulating of substance into form that is brought to life so that it can exist as a representation that is created, brought to life, that then continues on as the species. How the species moves forward is through the process of birth and death. That's how the species moves forward, because as the new species comes into existence, over time the experience of the species is like altered incrementally. So that over time, it simply has a different representation to it. And this is something that Darwin noticed way back when. And then he made a very interesting thing. He simply drew the conclusion that because we have hair on our body, that we had to evolve from apes, according to the raw material. We didn't evolve. We were created. And the blueprint that was used is the lemur. Is the species on the planet that we were patterned after human beings. One of the curiosities is that there have been lots and lots of different species that have interacted with this planet that have the role of that which creates and that which brings to life. Right now, approximately 10 million species exist. I think that in the history of this planet, there have been approximately 25 million species. And they all have different creators. One of the more interesting things that I read was that one of the things that consciousness does is it learns how to create a life form. And in this case, the entities that were working with creativity were trying to create a mouse that it could self-sustain through time and space. And it showed the hit and miss of that process. It's almost like when we see a tree, when we see a bird, when we see a fish, when we see an insect, when we see something, it is a signature that some source has left to allow us to know that they were here. It is very, very possible, according to Mary Summerrain, that there is going to come a point in time in which every source involved with this planet is going to represent itself, and the number that I have is approximately 32 million sources have interacted with this planet since the beginning of this planet, approximately 32 million. According to Mary Summerrain, there's going to come a point in time in which people look up in the skies and the only thing they're going to see are UFOs by the millions, if not billions. One of the understandings that has come to me is Beam Me Up Scotty has more truth to it than anything else, in the sense that told by a UFO in 1990, we are here for you, just not at this time. So one of the things that I do to cover my base is I ask to be made contact with that UFO that is here for me. I ask to be taken aboard, taken to a safe place or someplace at the appropriate time, and I leave it at that. It takes all of about 10 seconds. And I've covered my base because I have a feeling that Close Encounters of the Third Kind was correct, and that every single individual's soul was brought here and everybody's soul goes home by the same UFO. And the one daunting task that everybody has is which UFO is going to come is the soul going home with. And to me, it's kind of interesting. And so when we look at love and light as a state of being, there's also the idea of stillness is the heart, peace is the body, harmony is the head. There's also opening the heart, enlivening the body, fully activating the brain. There's also path is purpose, enlightenment, being a voice through intuition, psychic ability, channeling. which intuition is to God, what psychic abilities are to the planet, what channeling is to the universe. A lot of people treat these as fringe things rather than daily involvements, and everybody is intuitive, everybody is psychic, and everybody has the capacity or ability to channel. So it becomes interesting that so many people don't meditate. One of the things that I have learned is that if an individual does not meditate on a regular basis, that person is going to be, people are basically going to be unconscious, according to Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote Conversations with God. 98% of humanity is unconscious, which is, to me, a daunting thing. Question is why? Why is it that people have such a difficulty? Why is it that people have such a hard time with doing the simple thing of meditating? In the composition of my life, I have meditation. I have written and read material, which is books and pamphlets and that type of thing, and then vision boards. And I work within the context of my life of what I would like to have as an experience. So I have vision boards to help with that. I have written and read books. I have read a lot of books. I have written. I have 8 books published. I have 17 books written, and I'm working on 7 books, and I have gotten away from writing every day. And that's not all right with Ince, because she thinks that I should be a writing fool, write day and night for the rest of my life. And I would like to get to a point to where I don't have to work a so-called 8-to-5 job, so that I could divide my time between antagonizing and harassing Ince and writing about it, and then sending it to her to confound and confuse her, if nothing else. Also to get involved with music and then kind of go from there. It would be nice to have the finances such that, and I'm working on that. So it's eventually I think it's going to take care of itself. So one of the things that we get to do is, part of the work that we do is to manifest with the conscious mind. Another is to become enlightened. Another is to become miracle-minded in the same context as Jesus. It says in the Bible, and this is Jesus speaking, if you believe these things that I have done, you shall do as I have done, even greater, for I go unto the Father, which means everybody has the ability to be as miracle-minded as Jesus. Everybody has the ability to walk on water, raise the dead, manifest, feed the 5,000, and so on. And maybe even manifest some popcorn and some bonbons and enjoy life. And maybe the fish will jump and swim and speak your name on some sunny after day and all that kind of good stuff. One of the things that's nice is that all an individual has to do is focus upon something, and there will be a correspondence as a type of experience, a type of involvement, and so on. And I know we've all had the experience. I know we all have the experience of thinking about something and then having a corresponding experience. I had the experience once of leaving the house, going and buying a few items from the store. I bought some potato chips and I ate 2 on my way home and I didn't want them. And then all of a sudden I found out that my roommates were debating who was going to go to the store specifically for potato chips. I picked up on that, and I literally bought potato chips for them without even realizing that's what I was doing. One of the nice things is that a person can get to a point to where there is effortlessness. And effortlessness is the ability to have a life that works, in which there is no struggle, there is no anxiety, there is no karma, there is no struggle, there is no stress, there's just ease of being, where everything just works moment by moment by moment. I've pretty much got to that point in my life to where everything is just absolutely effortless. I work at a job, it's kind of a dead-end job, but I absolutely love the job. I like the job. There's nothing negative within the composition or context of the job outside of what the job is. Now, there are business policies that, to me, are not fair and don't work very well, but that's a upper management protocol. From my level, what I do is I drive parts from point A to point B, and I like it. I like getting in the truck. I like driving around Mount Shasta. I like going to Weed. I like going to Dunsmuir. I like going to McLeod. They're all small communities under 2,000 people, which is pretty cool. Mount Shasta has a population of 3,500 people. Now, here's a tidbit for you. According to the Georgia Stones, and I'm not sure if they're, I think they're in the state of Georgia here in the United States. I just know them by the Georgia Stones. One of the things that it says on the Georgia Stones is that humanity should not congregate in communities larger than 2,000 people. Now, how many towns and cities are on the planet that have more than 2,000 people in them? There are cities with millions of people. I think New York City has 10 million people. I think Los Angeles has 7 million people. I believe Sacramento, California is a population of approximately a million. San Francisco is a population of approximately 700,000. And if everyone would be wise to read the book, The Individual and the Nature of the Mass Events, which is a Seth book, because in that body of knowledge, it explains the effects of mass consciousness as far as people, places, and things, inclement weather, hurricanes, monsoons, tornadoes, thunderstorms are a direct result of mass consciousness. Earthquakes are a direct result of mass consciousness. And it behooves us humans on this planet to have a mindset that is conducive to all else. It's part of the work that we can do. If an individual wonders what he or she can do within the context of his or her life, I recommend meditate. According to Edgar Cayce, it begins and ends with meditation. And there are as many ways to meditate as there are people who meditate. I do not recommend doing a traditional meditation through some practice like, say, Nichiren Shoshu Buddhism, through Zen, through Hinduism, that type of thing, because what happens is that it's not taking into consideration the spiritual individuality, uniqueness of the individual. And so an individual is wise to develop a meditation practice that is unique to the individual. The question comes up with that is, how does a person know if they're doing it right or not? Because what happens is the process takes care of itself as an individual gets in tune and in touch with who they are through the process. Pretty interesting. The other thing is that one of the things that an individual could do is resolve their issues that act as catalysts only. People come into the life experience with fear issues, with jealousy issues, with anger issues, with pain issues. The dynamic is pain, fear, anger, hatred, violence, depression, suicide, or the flip side, which is joy, love, self-acceptance rather than anger. Compassion rather than anger, or patience. The Dalai Lama says that patience is the flip side of anger, self-acceptance to hatred, and then rather than being violent, being kind and harmonious, rather than being depressed, being happy, feeling wonderful, and then instead of suicide, ascending the body to the next level of contribution. Really, when you think about it, the only thing that a given thing does is contribute what it is to itself through something else. We think of this as survival of the fittest or predation, but actually what you have is the continuation takes place. That which feeds on something continues in that context, and that which transitions is evolving. According to Mayor Baba in God Speaks, everything gets involved with seven levels of mineral, seven levels of vegetable, seven levels of worm, seven levels of mammal, that type of thing. And then an individual evolves to the next level, the next opportunity. One of the interesting things is that within the composition of highest levels of consciousness, the only thing that exists are collectives that have ascended. It's one of the most interesting visions that I have received, and I received it about 25 years ago. And according to the raw material, the last octave of individuality is the third octave of sixth density, because the fourth octave of sixth density is a reunification of, as the raw states, light, love, love, light. man is to light love, what woman is to love light. We are individualized representation, and we are also the representation of everything. Part of the work that meditation facilitates as a person becomes conscious of and recognize that everything observed, everything that is, exists inherently in the self, from God and universe, divinity, deity, Yahweh, it, to mom and dad and so on. And we are a representation. And then you have infinity, so that you have 7 billion versions of the human ideal. And then, of course, it becomes an interesting opportunity to work within the context of love and light, so that the mass of love and the magnitude of light can double through each individual that is being it, knowing it, sharing it, and ultimately ascends it. Because basically what you have is that one is doubled by two when it comes to love and light. Two is doubled by three. Three is doubled by four. Well, what happens when you get 6 million and one doubles the mass and magnitude of the 6 million. 6 million and two doubles the mass and magnitude of 6 million and one. So it becomes a pretty amazing thing when you think about it, because eventually the mass and magnitude of love is actualized and demonstrated by human beings on the planet becomes greater than the mass and magnitude of the sun. It's part of the reason why it exists. In fact, one of the things that is useful is to look at the sun, look at the earth, look at the four phases of the moon, and look at the universe, and know that the mind is to the sun what the body is to the earth. It's the same mineral composition and water composition. The body has the same composition and constitution as the planet. The spirit is the four phases of the moon, and the soul is the universe. So what you have is you have the mind of God. You have the will of God as the mind. You have the love of Yahweh as the body. You have the light of it as the spirit. And you have the consciousness of all that is as the soul. So you have spirit and soul as it corresponds to will of light and consciousness, as it is a representation of God, Yahweh, in the universe. And they are. The mind is infinite. The body is eternal. The spirit is complete. And the soul is total. That each and every human being on this planet is a representation of. And it's that comprehensive, which is pretty cool. And one of the nice things is that one of the things that a person can work with is the idea of joy, peace, freedom, adventure, joy, love, compassion, harmony, or presence, isness, realness, pattern, content, truth, I amness, allness, godhood. Presence, isness, realness, pattern, content, truth, I amness, allness, godhood. And my favorite is oneness, perfection, completeness, content that contributes, comprehensiveness as the fifth chakra, unity or union as the sixth chakra, connected integration as the seventh chakra, and then from that you have reintegration back into God, because the only thing that's taking place within the composition or constitution of the universe as a whole is everything originated out of God. It evolves back into God through over time, through space. It's kind of like from God, through God, to God, as God. And there are certain things that a person can be aware of. One is making a contribution to others, because in one sense, it is the only thing that matters. However, having said that, every single human being on this planet is absolutely entitled to the life they are personifying, regardless of whether it's positive, negative, arbitrary. I make a point of gratefully appreciating the personification of energy as positive, negative, arbitrary. So this way, I gratefully appreciate the life everybody else is being, knowing, sharing, and ascending. Anyway, I am the host, Douglas H. Malloy. This is Welcome to My Point of View. I do this show every Tuesday for an hour right now. And the only thing that I'm interested in, being it, knowing it, sharing it, and ascending my body to the next level of service. Because the thing that I understand is it's only service that evolves in the positive. It evolves until it collectively ascends or individually ascends within the context of the negative. It usually means that it goes to a point and then self-destructs as a rule. And the death experience can be thought of that. In one sense, you have the idea of birth, crucifixion, death, reincarnation, or oneness that heals wholeness into ascension. There's lots and lots of things that we can work with. Anyway, thank you all for being here, and we will do it all again next week. Thank you for being in the chat room, and thank you for being on the phone. Thank you, and have a great day. Bye.